Hey, what's good? This is Rich.
And I'm Marcus.
And you're listening to Paychecks and Balances, where we talk making money, saving money, and getting out of debt, all while having some fun along the way. And so a couple weeks back, Marcus told his unfortunately hilarious taking a louse story. And on today's show, I've got mine, which honestly, I don't think it's that funny, but hopefully people get some laughs out of it and they also get some insights. And I've also got an update on my Make More Money initiative, which is essentially things I can do this year to help me increase my side hustle income and also help me boost additional revenue streams.
Hey, man, don't sell yourself short. So, you know, we'll leave it up to the people for the, the voting piece. And actually, what a segue. You know, speaking of voting, on a special note, we're going to enter the FedEx Small Business Grant Contest, where we have the potential to win as much as $50,000 to invest specifically in the Paychecks and Balances brand. So if you want to see us be great, please pay attention. We'll get that information to you. Once it's published, it's going to go live February 27th, but we're waiting for all the links and information. So, of course, we'll be on here with the social media campaign, but we want y'all to be aware and, you know, help us, support us. And this is a free, easy way for you to just do a couple clicks and support your boys over here at Paychecks and Balances so more people can hear the smooth sounds of PNB.
And I know with a lot of these online contests, they often turn out to be popularity contests, basically, where it's all about popular vote and so on. So every vote does count. There's no electoral situation. So if you support the show, you support what we're doing, this is a great opportunity. And like Marcus said, a lot more information to come. And so, yeah, you told your tow truck story, and I feel like I've got a version of my own, man. And even as I'm thinking about it now, it's kind of a struggle to recount. It hurts me deep in the chest, fam. It really does.
Losing money always does.
So not too long ago, I went on a trip, and I'll let people guess the city, but I'll tell you it's one where the food is highly tasty. They're super passionate about their sports team. And I'm being vague for hashtag reasons, but I found myself on a random bike ride with my girl through a park that ended up being larger than Central Park in New York City. So if you haven't been to Central Park, it's mad big. If you have, you already know what I'm talking about. And before we took the bikes, I had to give my ID as a placeholder. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, like, let us just hold your ID so that if you do decide to go away with this gigantic two-person bike that would be odd for you to have anywhere else, at least we can come after you for it. And
did y'all have the option to take those death scooters? Did you purposely choose the bikes or did you avoid the scooters?
So it was only the bikes, but I have been on those death scooters before. Yo, those scooters are kind of scary, man.
I'm terrified of those things, man. I haven't been on them yet. That's why I asked.
Yeah, and so they're solar powered, electric powered, whatever. And I remember the first time I got on one and you press the gas or the pedal, whatever it is, and it just takes off. And it's not going super fast, but it's going fast enough that where you feel like, yo, if I fall, it's probably going to be a bad situation. I'm probably going to have to explain some things at work. So it was much more that. This was the only thing you could find in the park was these bikes. As we were walking around it, we saw people riding them and we're like, yo, we should get one of those. That'll be something spontaneous, which is something that I'm working on, doing things that are off the agenda.
Oh, look so, at you.
Man, I'm trying. I'm trying out here.
That's all you can do, man.
So we go on this fantastic voyage. We're riding around this park, having all sorts of fun. And we get back, you know, we're talking about how great it was, all the things that we saw, the random ducks and other animals and, you know, how we hadn't done something like that before. And I get my ID back and I go to put it in my wallet only to realize there is no wallet for me to put it into because I'm one of the dudes. I carry my wallet in my back pocket, which is something, I don't know what changed. It's something that I started doing probably over the past couple of years. Before that, I would have it in like the front side pocket. And so maybe it's the whole thing about, you know, when you wear the same pair of jeans, you eventually form that square that everyone can see. I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about there.
I'm a front pocket guy, but I think I know where you're going.
Yeah. So it's possible that I just have way too many things in my wallet at any one point in time. And so I reach in my back pocket. I have the uh-oh moment because I tend to be very good about not losing things. Like I'm always the person who's double checking my pockets anytime that I go anywhere. If I leave the house, I know that I have everything. I'll open the door back up and go back in. I'm the person who presses the door lock on the car like multiple times, even though that I know that I already did it. So you can probably imagine the level of anxiety when I reached into my back pocket and I was like, yo, there is nothing there.
Yeah, I feel you. We have a mutual friend. You probably don't even realize it. But he's lost his wallet on two separate occasions, and both times they got mailed back to him, less the cost of mailing.
Wait. So Good Samaritans do exist?
Yes. It actually makes me mad. One time, actually the second time, they mailed it back to the wrong bank. Like they just mailed it to the main chain. And then the bank called him and was like, hey, we have your wallet. We're going to mail it to the chain in your city. So it was technically mailed twice to two different locations. I'm getting upset just talking. I'm just getting upset reliving this story.
And you know, and I'm like, this is hate, but I'm accepting that it's hate. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, I am hating the fact that he could have that Good Samaritan experience twice. Twice?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm standing here where all these bikes are. You know, there's families and kids and they're laughing and having a good time. And of course, I'm not. And I go back to the counter where I just got my ID back from. And I'm like, so any chance you picked up a wallet? Of course, that guy is like, no. And honestly, fam, I remember when we first got the bikes and I was talking to this guy. I'm like, something is off here. And to be honest, I have no idea if it was him. I'll never know. But I'm just like, you know what? I feel like even if he did see the wallet, he probably wouldn't have told me about it.
Like he saw you drop it on the way out.
Yeah, exactly. He just slid his foot over it and slowly slid it back as he watched us pedal away. Like that type of situation. And so at this point, it's like 4 o'clock, or actually it's probably like 5 o'clock. You know, we're in the winter season, so daylight is fading fast. And it became this divide and conquer effort where I'm like, okay, you take this side of the park, which is gargantuan, but maybe I should take that side because it is gargantuan and it's going to get darker faster. And we set about this journey knowing that we're losing daylight fast. Fam, it felt like a Netflix movie. It's like 5 o'clock. We've got an hour of daylight left. We got to find this wallet. We went from pedaling gently and not being worried or having any types of concerns to like scrambling, sweating, and trying to find this wallet in this gigantic park. And that was also the other worst case thing is we've been in other parks where it's like you make a quick loop and you cover all the ground. But this one happened to be the park where it was like, okay, you go around this pond and that pond. And then, of course, we decided to make all these different detours. And so we probably pedaled. It easily could have been like 2 or 3 miles, man.
I got to say, man, shout out to your Women Crush Wednesday, because some women would have been like, good luck. I'll be over here when you finish. So, you know, shout out to her. Recognition, you know, recognize real.
Yeah, man, it was rough. And I definitely appreciated that support and the effort and that willingness to go about it. And so at this point, I get into the search, walking around the park. 30 minutes have gone by. I can see the sun starting to dissipate. And there was a point where it was pretty much dark. And I was at that level where the only way I could see what was on the ground was to use the flashlight on my phone, which, of course, the battery was also fading fast as well. So I'm not sure if you've ever had that experience where you are trying to look for something and all you've got is your flashlight on your phone. And on top of that, your battery is dying. But you still need to have enough life left where in case something crazy does happen, you can get that quick text message off.
I'm silent laughing over here for people who could, you know, got the good headphones and heard that, because I was in Denver one time and I forgot what I lost. I lost something. Maybe it was my wallet. And I turned my phone on to like help me find it. And like this moth from like the netherworld came out of nowhere and attacked me in my phone, man. It was pretty traumatizing, actually. Now I forgot about that experience. Yeah, this creature of the night flew into me and my phone. Then I had to fight that off, you know, so. Yes, that was my last lost flashlight phone experience that I'm clearly still suffering from some PTSD about.
Yo, it's horrible. It's horrible. Again, it felt like a Netflix movie because I'm in the dark. I'm walking along this path and I would see the silhouettes of people just like off in the distance. And it's like, should I keep going that way? And I was seeing with dogs, but I'm like, I don't know what type of dog that is. This would be the perfect setup for me. And then to make it even scarier, I would see the silhouette of animals and I couldn't quite tell what animal it was. I'm like, that could be a cat. That could be a raccoon. That could be something else that could very easily take my life. And the only thing that I could think to do was, so you know how you hear in those nature shows that if you ever encounter a wild animal, to just make yourself as big as possible and yell and scream and make noise?
Yeah, I'm curious where you're going with this story, but go ahead.
Yo, I was clapping, yelling, putting my hands over my head, doing a ooga booga, trying to make different animals scramble away in the distance. And it worked, but just how stupid I felt doing that for a situation where it could have been as simple as maybe me tapping my back pocket a few more times to make sure that my wallet was there. But like, it's pitch black. I can hear and see the trees swooshing, you know, the sounds of wind, random animals sitting and looking at me, probably figuring out that, oh yeah, he's another one that lost his wallet. And yo, the only thing I could think to do was just be like, okay, what are they doing in nature shows? All right, let me stand tall. Let me ball up my fist. So if a cat or some other type of big creature jumps at me, I could punch it in the face just in time. And I'm already thinking about the stitches I would have to get and the story I'd be able to tell on the other end. Like it was just not good.
Man, were you in a major metropolitan city? It sounds like you were in an episode of Stranger Things or something from this description. Like the night swooped in and the day turned. Like, with that being said, yes, I'll let you continue to tell your story. It's very dramatic, actually. You definitely undersold yourself. Under promise and over deliver.
Yeah, I mean, but this is how I felt. Like, heart racing, but being like, I gotta find this wallet. I don't want to lose my wallet. I don't want to lose all my cards. And I know you can cancel all your cards. And even as I was walking along before it got really dark out, I'm going in and locking my card in the different apps and, you know, trying to maintain some semblance of hope. Then the other thing is, when I'm on these like random excursions, I don't pay attention to everything that I've walked past. And the struggle to remember every detour that we took along the way. And there were points where I'd walk and I'd be like, okay, I don't remember this. Let me double back. And I probably did four or five different double backs. Also stopped in this donut spot that was along the way, like, yo, did y'all find the wallet? Knowing that they were going to say, nah, we haven't seen anything, but I still kept that hope. And so, yo, it legitimately was that stressful an experience. And then eventually I got the text from my girl. She's like, yeah, I'm getting a little worried over here. I'm going to go back to the donut spot since that's our central meeting location. And so I'm like, yeah, you should head back. And she's like, you should come back. And I'm like, nah, I'm going to stay out here and keep looking for this wallet, which in the grand scheme of things, I realized wasn't worth it. I probably should have just canceled the cards or locked the cards and considered it a day. But I was so determined that I just kept walking in the dark probably for another 30 minutes. And so I end up not finding the card and calling it a night before I got robbed or killed. And I had that moment where you realize you have to give up, because even while you're looking for something or you're trying to recover hope, or even if you bump, like, so I think a situation where something didn't go well and you're like, maybe I can save this, and you just keep going off of that hope. And then slowly with each minute that passes, you feel that hope fade. And you get to that point where you're just like, you know what? I got to take this loss. And maybe you experienced this with the tow truck thing where your head kind of goes down, your shoulders slump a bit. You take that deep breath and you're like, I got to charge it to the game.
Yeah, it was when Mechanic Pimp came out there for the second time to up the price by 400%. I knew I was a victim at that time, and I just had to let it go.
Yeah, yeah. So that whole feeling is terrible. So at this point, I'm in the city. I have no cash. My national banks are nowhere to be found. And I even had to ask a friend to Western Union me some money. And you could be like, well, why didn't you ask your girl? There was reasons for that. You know, there was some pride involved as well. I'm like, we here celebrating. I'm supposed to stunt on you a little bit. And now I got to ask you for money, which eventually I was like, all right, I'm going to need you to cover this. But of course, you know, I'm going to be able to pay you back. And this is where it got even dicier. So, you know, everyone's heard of Western Union. You know, it's available in all the cities. It's supposed to be a quick way, an easy way to get money. But even before talking about Western Union, banks like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, I realize they aren't everywhere. So they're national banks, but in some ways they are still regional, because within this city, there were no major chain banks that I could find within like 5 miles, which is also crazy.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, another piece, and maybe you'll get to this, like, I was surprised the other way around, where I was literally trying to pay somebody back because nobody has cash these days. And I was like, yeah, Venmo and PayPal. And like, they didn't have either one. And they were like, well, why don't you go to Walmart? And I was like, it became this whole like thing. You know, I was like, I'm not going to go to Walmart. And then to your point, I couldn't find a Walmart. I was like, it's you can never find what you need. If I wasn't looking for a Walmart, it'd be like on every corner, like a Starbucks. But the second I started looking for one, I could not find a Walmart for the life of me. But I think there's this assumption that everyone has the apps that you're using. Like a lot of my friends, or I'm surprised how many of my friends don't have like Venmo and PayPal, which I got made fun of. And you know that story, because I still had PayPal and I didn't have Venmo. And someone like insinuated that I was old for having PayPal. Like, they're owned by the same company, aren't they? Like, you know, so I think to spite them, I downloaded Venmo, which is the only reason I had it. So did you not, or did you have access to anybody with those apps as well? Or was that another gap that you ran into?
Yeah, so I did, but the thing was I needed cash. And so, yeah. So, you know what? Because you asked that question and I'm like, why didn't I do, like, what was the struggle? And the struggle was like, it's great. You can transfer money into this online account, but I still can't access it right away because I have no cards. And so the only way for me to get cash was to go to Western Union.
Yeah. And I'm reminded of our good friend from the Fire documentary. Another thing that I learned about myself and my friends doing their circumstances is I'm like, yo, I'm in an emergency. Can I hold $20? And they're like, I ain't got it. And I'm like,
but you just spent it.
I'm like, I'm looking at your Instagram, man. You're at the bar right now. They're like, I put that on a card. I'm like, what the? So, yeah, it's interesting what you learn about your circle during these emergency times as well.
It's so real. And I was grateful to have a couple of friends who were like, we got it. And I'm like, all right, Western Union, I have to download the Western Union app. And then it's like, connect one of your bank accounts. But of course, it asked for the card numbers and then it asked for the CVV number on back. And bruh, I spent like 30 minutes. So one, I'm thinking about the fact that I'm going to get locked out if I put in too many wrong CVV numbers. And so I'm going through all these formulas. I'm pacing in the room, pit sweating like, okay, I know I've said these CVV numbers in the back of the card numerous times. Like, I'm like, all right, is it 151 or is it 256 or is it 841? And then eventually I got locked out and it was like, yeah, you can't do this anymore. And so I ended up having to do like, at first I tried to do, okay, I am going to see if I can transfer money between my individual accounts, put my name as the receiver, and then go and be like, yeah, it's me transferring to me and cash out that way. No, that did not work. And one of my friends was fortunately like, yeah, I'm by a Western Union. And so I've noticed most Western Unions are not standalone stores. They're within grocery stores or they're within convenience stores. I actually can't remember if I've ever walked into or seen a standalone Western Union. Have you?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Now that you point that out, I have not. I'm sure they exist, but I have not seen them.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're back at the hotel. My girl is sleeping. I'm like, all right, I'm going to be slick. I can't have her see me distressed. And so I go out. I identify where there's a couple of Western Unions nearby. And one is like a 5-minute walk away. But of course, with the wind, it feels like it's 15 degrees. You know, I'm walking in and then eventually I'm like, all right, let me call an Uber for this 2-minute ride. And I go into this Walgreens. And like, all right, Walgreens, I've been in here before. I saw the Western Union. I should be good. And I walk over to the area because I've also noticed that the Western Union is also normally in the photo area. So I walk over and the first thing I see is a sign that says, sorry, Western Union unavailable. Arthur clenched fist.
I actually have a comment here and something I've observed. First of all, I've had that same experience with Western Unions. I feel like Western Unions are to Walgreens what the shake machine is to McDonald's. And that, yes, it exists, but it never works. And so, you know, I've gone to several Walgreens and like, for whatever reason, the Western Union machine doesn't work. And then the other comment was, and I don't know if you have this experience. I don't follow it, but I don't, you know, there's always, well, maybe you don't, but I've heard the insight, like the old school insight that you should always have some cash on you, but I hardly ever have cash on me. So did you either learn that from the experience or was this an exception that you didn't carry cash on you?
Yeah. So I normally don't carry cash. And if I do, it's random. It's like I did a cash back for like $10 and that's all that I have in my wallet. And that's actually one of the insights that I had from this whole experience is the importance of carrying cash. And so I will talk about that a little bit more. But it was the first time in, you know what? I'm thinking about it. Yeah. It was the first time in years where I found myself in a situation where not having cash really burned me.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a good point.
Because with everywhere else that I've been, even if I went into a restaurant or some spot and they were like cash only, I could always walk down the street and find an ATM somewhere. I could go into a corner store and find an ATM and use one of my cards, which of course in this situation I did not have. So that's definitely a big insight, the importance of carrying cash. And so I go to this Walgreens and of course, so here's the other thing that sucked. The Walgreens closed at 9:00. I hustle over there. I get there at like 8:53. I'm like, I made it. And then I discovered that the Western Union is down. And that sign has probably been there for days. But of course, I didn't notice that before the fact. And so then I got to go on the Western Union website and find out where the next closest location is. and it's a gas station that's like a couple of miles away. And so I call a Lyft, actually, not an Uber. I call a Lyft. And when I get in, I'm like, yeah, we're going to the gas station. And the driver kind of like looked over his shoulder a bit. He didn't say anything, probably because he didn't want to come off a certain type of way. But he's like, you sure you want to go to that gas station? I'm like, yeah, that's where the Western Union
is. Yeah, it's never a good sign when someone local to the city is like, you want to go there? And their voice goes up at the end like that? What are you, insinuating a question mark?
Yeah. And so he pulls into this gas station and immediately, and you know when you pull into a gas station, which is like that gas station, and I'm like, all right, this is a really seedy spot. And
actually, I want you to, because this happened to me, so I want you to explore that for the audience, because I was following Apple somewhere. I forget. I think I was going to the airport. It like took me through one of those back roads. And I started seeing a lot of, you know, one day cash loans and liquor stores and gun shops. And I those are like, what are your telltale signs for like, I don't know this neighborhood I want to get out in.
Yo, there were a lot of people outside milling about, spilling their feelings in the air. Just mad loud.
And because I told them that, like, it's funny. No matter what city I'm in, it's like these are the signposts to like, you know what? I feel like the elements are changing a little bit. Like, it's cool, you know what I'm saying? It's like good, but you got to have that self-awareness. I do want some people who might not be hood adjacent to know those signs. You start seeing them one-day cash loans, which is interesting because you probably will find a Western Union there. You'll start seeing a lot more liquor stores. I don't mean just a liquor store.
Yo,
I ain't talking about wine and spirits. I'm talking about the store says liquor.
So what? That was next door.
These are the flashing lights, you know, because I don't want somebody to get caught up. You know, I just want my people to be great.
Yeah. And so I also noticed there was the bulletproof glass hood Chinese food that was nearby.
Oh, man.
There's also the bulletproof glass chicken spot that's nearby.
I'm getting nervous just listening to this story.
And so I want to be very clear. Like, these exist in all types of neighborhoods, and how they may look in different neighborhoods is going to be different, but they're still telltale signs. I'm like, all right, the bulletproof glass. And so for getting Chinese food, that's completely fine because, as I've said before, the hooder, the gooder.
Yeah. And when they, I have a comment to that. And when they exist in surplus, I'm not talking about like in a strip mall, one or two. I'm talking about you make a 360 degree circle and yet you see six liquor stores. Like, I'm like, come on, man. Another thing I've also, I don't want to get on this particular tangent, but the hooder, the better is also the better the music. For some reason, the more likely I am to get shot. And I've been in some clubs like this. I've purposely gone to them. I just like to know when I'm going. I don't like the hood to be sprung up on me. I guess that's what I'm saying. I don't want to be surprised by the hood. I like to know, hey, Marcus, you going to the hood today? I'd be like, cool. Let's go do hood things. I do hood rat things with my friends, with the best of them. I just don't like to be shocked by it.
Yeah. And I remember even for one of the past conferences when I was in the city and I stayed at a hotel before the conference hotel, ended up going out, went into an area. But I knew going in, I was like, all right, I'm about to go to a spot that probably for a lot of people wouldn't be as savory, but I'm comfortable being here because I know what I'm going into and I know what rules to follow, versus here where it's just like, I have a limited amount of time. I need to get this cash as quickly as possible. So I'm willing to do whatever is necessary to make that happen. And this is not a socioeconomic, political conversation. This is just a real what I experienced in life and what a lot of us probably experience in life type of conversation, where you end up somewhere that where you don't necessarily want to be, but you ultimately have no other choice other than to be there.
I appreciate that disclaimer, but I will readily say no disclaimer that I like to go to my hood. I like to go to the hood that I know. I don't like to go to new hoods where I don't have hood adjacent friends to take me to their hood. I don't like to be unknown in the new hood. And it is what it is. You know, it is what it is, baby. So that's my particular disclaimer. It ain't nothing but the hood. Like, that's where the good food, the good times is at. I just like to be familiar.
Yeah. And so that's so key, because I remember even when I ended up in this other hood, I went with people who you know, because like you're with them and so they can automatically vouch. It's like, all right, they're with that person, so they must be good. And that really does make a big difference.
Right.
But, you know, I could also see people like, oh, you're trivializing this experience of people who are living in these certain. And I'm like, no. It's not about that. That is not my experience in life right now. And I go into hoods. But there are certain ones, like you said, where you're new and you don't want to be the new guy by yourself with no one to vouch for your realness.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't want to be somewhere where people are like, you know what, let me test you and see what's up. Because I've also had that happen before and had to quickly make my departure. Why, hello there. We're taking a quick break from our chat to tell you about today's sponsor. The University of California, Irvine, aka UCI, ranks among the top 50 universities nationally and is also one of the top 10 public universities in the country. They offer programs ranging from business to healthcare, finance, and law. Their online courses offer the flexibility you need and the classroom experiences that'll keep you focused and interacting. So whether you're trying to start a new career or get your company off the ground, the UCI Division of Continuing Education has you covered with over 60 certificates and a bunch of resources. UCI Spring Quarter is upon us and registration is open. Visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter promo code podcast for 15% off one course. Again, visit ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter promo code podcast for 15% off one course. And if you couldn't write that down, be sure to check the show notes for the full link. And now, back to the show. So I go into this gas station. People are outside just talking mad loud. Actually, the music that was coming out from the cars that were parked not at the actual gas units, but just in the parking lot was also a sign. Dope music, by the way. Southern music, of course. And I, you know, I'm nodding my head. I walk in. I'm trying to be cool or whatever. And next sign, I walk into the gas station and someone is just sitting on a couple of crates smoking a cigarette.
Inside the gas station?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I tip my hat in respect.
But I'm like, one, we're at a gas station. So if you someone opens the door and like a little ash flies out and like it like that could have been a bad situation in itself. But the fact that no one cared, that was one issue. And I walk in and the dude just looks at me and he slowly lowers the cigarette from his mouth. Doesn't say a word. You know, I nod and I don't get a nod back, which also concerned me because even if I've gone into other hoods, I've gotten a nod back before and people just keep it moving, whatever else. I think nothing of it. But to walk in and not get a nod after I've acknowledged you, that's a completely different experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to let it go because I have a story in mind, which actually involved me.
Tell it.
Well, I was actually picking somebody up from the hood, I mean, to be perfectly clear. But the thing is, I knew I was going there. You know, I was all prepared and everything like that. And for the people who know, I have an aggregate number of tattoos. I won't say how many, but, you know, there's enough to be confused sometimes. So I was standing around minding my business. And yeah, similar thing. This dude, he drove into the apartment. I was standing out front. And I was standing with a friend, to be clear. So I was standing out front with a friend and he drove in and he slowed down, which also is a red flag. That's never a good sign. And he had black tint, so I couldn't see, but I knew he could see me. So his car starts going
or
like
she. There is no diversity in
no,
the tint,
this,
bro.
This was a he car. And, yes, which is also a sign. And so he's going like 1.5 miles per hour as he creeps past me, right? So I'm staring at this black tint. I'm like, all right, this is weird. And then, Rich, he poked, or the passenger poked his head out of the sunroof.
wait, the sunroof though?
Yeah, he poked his head out of the sunroof and gave me what can only be described as the meanest look, aside from a pit bull, that I've ever seen in my entire life. Probably my next 36 years. I was in my 20s at this time. And so, you know, I'm not stupid, but I know you got to return the glare. So we glaring at each other, you know. And then the car makes a U-turn. I'm like, all right, well, it's about to get interesting. And he comes over to me and Rich, you know what he said to me?
How you doing, brother?
No. He said, look, man, I don't want no problems around here. Y'all don't need to be moving nothing around here. Now, for some of y'all, y'all not going to know what that means. For half the audience, you cracking up right now. And I'm like, yo, man, I'm in college. I'm waiting to pick up somebody for a date. And then, you know, we bonded. He was like, oh, okay, man, my bad. You know, you standing out here, this, that. I actually took it as a compliment at the time, because at the time I was in my 20s. I was like, that was like the biggest compliment you could get. And then we went our separate ways. But yes, I had a similar cigarette put out mad face story, but it had happy ending.
Yeah, that's pretty terrifying, because I remember even when I was with these folks at this hood spot, I had on a blue hat. Uh-oh. And I thought nothing of it. And I said to one of the people I'm with, I'm like, hey, I'm here chilling, but I just noticed across the way that I keep getting these looks. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's the hat. It's this territory. So I had to make that. I'm like, do I take the hat off or do I just go YOLO and completely live it up and try to make it clear and smile that I am non-threatening and non-violent and I'm actually just here with these people trying to have a good time? Because it felt like taking the hat off would have been capitulating too much. And maybe that's more of an ego thing for me. I was just like, all right, I'm not taking my hat off. It's actually kind of cold in here. My head's getting cold. I'm bald. Like I'm not going that far because I feel like that also conveys weakness. So I went through this.
You definitely undersold this story, sir. Do continue. We have captured several elements in this story.
Well, yeah. And that's something that I had to think about. And I tend to overthink things and I always go to the worst case scenario. And so I'm thinking I could take the hat off and make it clear that I am non-threatening, but also taking the hat off to me felt like the equivalent of bowing or like a dog rolling over on its back and showing its belly. And I'm like, I don't want to do that either and just come across as weak. And then I find myself in a situation regardless because I come across as being so easy to get got. So I chose to keep the hat on. Yeah, I looked in that other direction. You know, I smiled, nod, whatever else. Keep doing what I was doing. And everything ended up being fine. But yeah, even as we were leaving, I still had this thought in the back of my mind of let me not be completely looking back and conveying concern. But I was definitely acting like I was looking into the spot next to me, but kind of keeping an eye over my shoulder, which is this whole other thing that I won't go too far down that road. But it's a very real experience. And if people were like, well, you know, you shouldn't be that concerned, you know, it's all about whatever. Like, nah, I'm not trying to lose my life and I'm not trying to find myself in a circumstance that I could have avoided by not being aware. And so I will also confess, I'm the person that no matter where I'm dining, no matter what restaurant I'm in, I always have an exit route if something is about to go down. So I could be in the finest of establishments and I still know where the exit door is. I still know where the entrance is. If I'm with my girl, I know how I'm going to get her to the floor if something goes down. And that's going to happen whether it's in the hood or where it's not. I mean, how many stories have we heard about that? I mean, it was even one in California, I think in San Bernardino or San Fernando, where someone walked into a bar that was not in the hood and they ended up shooting the place up. So wherever I go, I'm always thinking about the exit route. And I'm not sitting there scared for the whole meal. You know, I'm still enjoying my drink, still enjoying my food, but I do take notice of what I would do and how I would do it should something go down that would require us to get to the floor and have to get out of that place as quickly as possible.
Got to use your peripherals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so that's pretty much what it is. And so going back to the gas station, at this point, I'm waiting in line a couple of minutes and, you know, dude is still smoking a cigarette. And I'm like, all right, cigarette smell in a gas station. I'm like, is this even legal? But since I was not of that hood.
I'm glad you did not take umbrage to ask that question.
Or maybe I didn't ask it out loud.
Let me see where this story goes.
No, I didn't ask it out loud. I just kind of just like said it to myself. I'm like, is this even? I'm like, we're at a gas station. Wait, you can smoke inside a gas station? And so I don't see a Western Union sign anywhere. And so while I'm in line, I go back to the Western Union website and just to confirm that I'm at a Western Union spot. And I was. And I get to the counter and I say, hey, I'm here to do a Western Union transaction. And the dude laughed. Like, he was like, you trying to do Western Union? I'm like, yeah, I'm doing. He's like, man, you ain't going to find one of those that work anywhere across the city, man. You might as well give up on that. And I'm like, all right. So I just got a piece of paper saying Western Union is down.
Oh, man.
I'm now in this CD gas station. They're telling me Western Union is down. And I'm just standing there and I'm like, I don't want to argue with him because he's probably friends with the dude who's smoking the cigarette behind me, who is now no longer in my vision, I must say. And there's other people that I don't know who are in there talking. And it's very clear that this is a hangout spot. And I'm like, all right, let me just go and try to find where the next location is and go about that. I'm going to call another Lyft and make my way over there. And so at that point, I give up. I don't buy an energy drink or anything else. I'm just like, I just want to get out of here. This smoke is making me cough, choke, whatever else. And on top of the fact, I don't really feel comfortable right now. And as I'm going out the door, there's this dude who was by the door when I was coming in. And he didn't say anything. But as I'm going out, he's like, hey, bro, what's up, man? I like that coat. And fam, what does that mean in greater than 50% of situations? In areas where you don't know anybody And it feels CD on top of that.
Sound like he about to get a new coat to me.
And so I'm trying to be, and so at this point, I'm trying to maintain the open mind. I'm walking out and he kind of stops me like, hey, bros, I'm going out. And he didn't put a hand on me because that would have definitely probably escalated and probably not been good for me in the end. But he smiles, has this slick look on his face. He doesn't have the pimp voice, but he's like, yeah, man, I like that coat. Where'd you get that? And I can't remember the last time where like I just kept walking and I kept having a conversation, like, you know, I was looking him in the eye, having a conversation, whatever. But like the gait, my whole gait changed, but hopefully not enough for anyone to notice. And I'm like, yeah, I got it at Macy's, man. I think it was X amount. Like, yeah, I heard there's a Macy's a couple of miles from here. All right, peace, bro. I'm out. Good. And I ended up doing the thing where it's almost like when you're trying to get out of a conversation and you don't really have somewhere to be, but you hustle like you have somewhere to be just because you want to get away from the circumstance.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so across the street, there's a CVS. And I'm like, all right, this is my last hope. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to hope everything goes well. I go in there. Of course, the CVS at this point is closing within 15 minutes. I go over to where the Western Union should be. Same sign. Wow. Western Union is unavailable. And man, it, like the amount of letdown, and consider this is all the same day that I also lost my wallet, all my cards. And I mentioned it when we talked to Kelly about Fyre Festival, but that feeling when you lose your stuff and you don't have anything that you need on you. And I'm thankful that I wasn't in another country, but that feeling where you're just like vulnerable and you're at a loss. Like I just stood there for a moment and it felt like one of those movies where it pans up overhead and it kind of just spins around the scene. And you're just like, no, like, why is this happening to me?
This is the part where the rain starts. Slowly starts hitting against the window.
Yeah. Yeah. And so at this point, I just give up. I'm thinking about dinner that we need to have that night and the fact that I want to make it back and not have any other crazy stories to tell and not be sweating or shaking or anything else. And so I end up taking a Lyft back to the place and I'm telling the Lyft driver, I'm like, yeah, man, I went to three different locations for Western Union and none of them had them. And he's like, oh, you didn't know? And I'm like, clearly not. Like, I'm not from here. Why would I know?
That's crazy that like it's just widely accepted. Western Union doesn't work citywide. Something else I've noticed recently, it's somewhat related, but it's happened. Like my bank used to be in Walgreens and they pulled not only ATMs out of Walgreens. I've noticed they're just impossible to find standalone ATMs for this particular bank. I'm not going to. Yeah, they haven't done any wrong by me. So I'm not going to say what bank it is. But my bank doesn't. They only have ATMs at their locations now. And so not only is it inconvenient, if I do use any other ATM, I got to pay, you know, $2, $3, $6. It depends whatever they're trying to get me for. And I think they charge me for using external ATMs. It's a whole scam.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I do like about having Ally Bank, because I can take money out from any ATM and I'll be reimbursed for any of those extra ATM charges that you get when you don't bank at your bank.
Good luck.
Yeah. And so I found that to come in handy. And there's other online banks that offer the same thing. But ultimately, at that point, I was like, I need to get back to the hotel and I'm going to have to rely on my girl for cash. And the only way that I could make purchases going forward was through Apple Pay. So I did have a couple of my cards connected there, but I had locked them. And so another interesting thing that I noticed with some of the banks through the various apps is that I remember in the past where if you lost your card, the only option was to just reorder a new card. And that's what it was for Wells Fargo, which was another sign to me of trashness, or maybe they're ultimately looking after my financial security. But based off of other things, I don't feel as strongly about that. Whereas with the other bank accounts, so Bank of America and Chase on the credit card side, I had the ability to temporarily lock the card. Like you press the button and you see it go to lock and you press it again, it goes to unlock. So for me, I'm thinking, you know what? I want to feel like I have some level of financial dignity right now. So I'm just going to lock the cards. I'll order new ones in a few days when I get back. And so what I'll do is go back and forth between locking and unlocking. And I will only lock it at the point that I'm at the counter and need to make a purchase in that moment, which by the time all was said and done, there'd probably been, you know, 20 or 30 different emails that were generated. And I also found out, and I didn't know this, that there's a feature with some of the banks, and I think they're moving toward phasing this out based off the experience I got locked out at one of my banks for this, where you can actually get money out of an ATM without having your debit card. It's all through just touching your phone to the sensor, just like with Apple Pay or Google Pay or one of those other services. So I didn't even know that was a thing with some of the banks.
Oh, okay. This is new information to me. So hopefully that'll be helpful to someone as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so it worked a couple of times and then it just stopped working because maybe they thought that I had actually gotten robbed and got my coat taken, but that was not the case. And it became more of a problem when I got back home and I tried to do it at a bank near me, which was also interesting that, okay, now I'm back to my home base. I'm within a mile of where I live. I'm trying to use this touch to withdraw feature. And now all of a sudden they're saying, yeah, we're not going to enable that any further because we've had issues of fraud and everything else. So I get it. I understand, mitigate risk. But interesting, I'm in another city, I can use it, I'm at my home base, and I can't. Ended up being this not great experience, and won't say how many times I called the place near where we were at, called the place where we got the bikes multiple times. There was a museum nearby that I called multiple times to see if by chance a good Samaritan turned in the wallet and nothing. Nothing whatsoever. That it's like, yeah, oh yeah, you called yesterday, right? Yeah, nah, we still ain't got your wallet. And that was it. I was thinking about the takeaways from this overall experience, and you brought this up, the importance of carrying cash. And so right now I'm preparing for an international trip, which has a completely different reason for having angst, 10 plus hour flights. And I don't want this to happen again. So I've already resigned that when we get there, I'm getting local currency. I'm going to have the money in a safe place. There will be no pickpocketing. My head will be on swivel the whole time. But if by chance I do lose my wallet, I'm not going to find myself in a situation where I can't afford to do anything at all, and most likely where there's not a Western Union.
And I can't recall. I remember we talked about this offline. Did you have your ID? Or if not, but even if you didn't, you told me some way to get through the airport without an ID. I think you should share that with the audience.
Yeah, yeah. So it worked out in that when we got these bikes, I had to give them my ID. So that was the only thing that was safe. And it was the best case scenario because I was telling some random person about the experience. You know, you're out and about, you're talking to someone. They're like, why so glum? And it's like, well, I lost my freaking wallet. And they told a story of how somebody was visiting the States and they lost their passport. And so they were stuck here for weeks because they couldn't get their passport back. And so I was thankful that I didn't find myself in that situation. But I have been in a situation in the past. I was traveling with someone who lost their ID last minute. And so we had to get to the airport earlier. And I think we probably got there a couple hours earlier just to be safe. And they got pulled off into one of those rooms where they interrogate you. They had to answer a bunch of security questions. And they were ultimately able to get on the flight. Now, that's probably not going to work going international, but that did work out when we were traveling from one state to another. So that is a possible thing.
Cool.
And so the other thing that I thought about, so I now carry a Tile in my wallet. Are you familiar with Tile?
I am not.
Okay. So Tile, and there's different sizes, but it's like this little square that you can put in your wallet on your luggage. And there's an app that goes along with it. And if you can't find your wallet, your luggage, whatever it is, and if it's nearby, you press a button in the app and it'll actually make a sound in the little square that's in your wallet or on your device. And so you can quickly identify it. Some people will carry these on their phones too. So I can't find my phone. Where is it? It's in the crib somewhere. They press the button within the app. The little square makes noise wherever their phone is, and then they can go and easily find it. The other thing is there's a feature, and it does require you to do like the subscription service version of it. And if you get a certain distance away from whatever device has the little square in it, you'll get a notification on your phone saying, hey, you're out of range, and reminding you to get whatever device it is that this little square is attached to. And so, yes, there's a cost to that. But for me to get a vibration, if I'm ever in a situation again where I lose my wallet, and that was the other thing, is because this park was so big, I had no idea where the wallet actually was. I'm looking in grass. I'm looking in mud. I'm looking on concrete. I'm looking in and around dog droppings. I'm looking at everything possible. And for the future, for me, if I can get that notification that, hey, even if it's me leaving the crib, like, hey, you're leaving the crib without your phone, you might want to go back and get that. Or, hey, you're leaving this. Or, hey, your wallet is X distance away. It is well worth it for me to have that. And it is something that I had on my luggage already, because I'm always paranoid about losing my luggage. And I have used it in the past to verify that my luggage actually is on the plane. But I had not previously thought about having one to put in my wallet. And of course, my girl thought about that for me.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was dope, man. So the other insights, Western Union is not worth a damn. I'll never try to use it again. Like, if I'm in a whole state and I cannot use this service to access money, it's not something that I would ever count on or depend upon. Also, you can probably tell that I'm not a great fan of Wells Fargo. And so I've already transferred all of my money out of my various Wells Fargo accounts into other accounts just because the whole experience wasn't great. And of course, everything else that I've heard about Western Union. And this experience was a reminder that it was something that I needed to do in the first place. And so unrelated directly to this experience, I did also find out that some recurring billing or subscriptions can continue to bill even if you've locked your card or ordered a new one. Because for me, like, you know what? I've been meaning to cancel this subscription to this and that. So now the card number's out of date. They won't be able to bill me. Nah, they found a way. As soon as I got that new card, the billing just started all over again, even though I never told them. And so I thought that'd be an easy way to get out of these subscriptions, but you do need to actually cancel them, even if you do lose your cards. And one thing that was particularly annoying was I got billed for, it was $180 for some online course thing that was an annual subscription that I did not sign up for. And I got billed for it anyway, even though they didn't have the most recent card information. So that was a reminder to me to make sure that I'm following whatever subscriptions are coming in, and that for any subscriptions that I am aware of that I want to get rid of, that I actually need to formally cancel those subscriptions because they're going to find a way to bill me anyway. So a reminder for folks, track annual subscriptions. Make sure you know what's coming in, what's going out. And if you do want to get rid of an account, you actually need to make that call or send that email or follow that formal process. Otherwise, there's a good chance they will bill you again. I hope people got something from that, whether a laugh, whether a ooh, whether a ah, whether a, I really need to think about how I approach this type of situation in the future, particularly when it comes to travel. A lot learned there. And I look forward to not losing my wallet again. I'm definitely going to be tapping my left back pocket. I probably shouldn't be telling people which pocket I keep my wallet in. But yo, my head's going to be on swivel, so it doesn't even matter.
We're amongst friends here. We're amongst friends.
And so the other thing I wanted to give a quick update on, I talked earlier this year about a big focus for me being making more money. So there's the salary from the day job, there's whatever else comes with day job compensation, but how can I go above and beyond that? And we've talked about additional revenue streams. And so a big thing for me is that I have gotten into podcast consulting, and I had a gig that I've been working on over the past few months, and also another special assignment that I got separately. And with everything consulting related, I'm expecting to see another 4K hit the bank account in March, fingers crossed, assuming that I don't have to chase and do the OD accounts receivable process to get the money that I'm actually owed. But that's a nice additional amount to have, also considering that I'll need to pay taxes from that. But I consider it a success overall in terms of having a consulting arrangement in addition to the day job. By doing consulting, I've gotten a sense of the common questions and uncommon issues that may come up when it relates to starting a podcast, given that that's what I was focused on. And for others, you may be thinking about consulting, whether you're doing career consulting or finance consulting or something else that you're really good at. And in the process of that, you're going to learn things that may come up that you might not have thought about otherwise. And so this whole project and the various lessons learned have given me a framework for a course that could be targeted to companies and small business owners who are thinking about starting a podcast going forward. And so I wanted to talk real quick about what went well. One, it reinforced that I know this topic really well and allowed me to flex customer service and presentation skills, which have been transferable skills that I've leveraged across the different day jobs that I've had and things that have always come up as something that I've excelled at. And again, the idea that a potential course may have emerged from this, and it's going to save me a lot of time in terms of being able to get this set up and being able to automate it and hopefully make more side hustle and passive. That's the whole thing. Some people debate whether, you create a course, like you got to create the content. Is that really passive? But for me, if you can set it up and then on some level forget it, or you set it up and then the work that you have to do going forward is minimal, I do consider that passive income. So that's something I'm thinking about in the background. And then in terms of what was most challenging, being on the West Coast, dealing with East Coast clients, getting up for 6 a.m. calls because that's 9 a.m. on the East Coast. I also got to get to my day job at 9 or 10 or whatever time it is. That was definitely a struggle, though I have gotten used to waking up early. And there's a difference between having to wake up early and having to engage in a productive conversation early. And I very quickly found out that the latter required me to wake up even earlier so I could get to the point of my brain being functional. And then the other thing was being looked at as an expert, because when you're the consultant, it's expected that you're going to have the answers. And there were situations where I had to say, you know what, I don't have the answer to that. Let me tap into my network. Let me do some research and then come back with the answer. And that was hard at times because my initial thought was, I need to respond on the spot and be able to answer this quickly to continue proving my expertise. But the truth is, it's okay for me to say, you know what, that's not something I've seen in the past. Let me do some research on that. Let me check with a few folks and then get back to you. And I was super worried about how that would go over, but everything ultimately turned out fine. And so thinking about what's next, I know there's things that we're working on for P&B in terms of a course and the underlying infrastructure that we need to lay for that to work well going forward. And then I'm also thinking about how can I do this in a way, whether it's with P&B or other things, to where it's more time zone friendly. And then also thinking about the importance of hired help, which we've talked about in the past. We understand that when you're first launching your own thing, it's not always going to be possible to get help on board. But I've also realized the number of decisions that I have to make on a daily basis between my personal life, my work life, where I'm managing a team, and then also having multiple side hustles. It's a lot. And I've started to feel that burnout again recently, where I'm just like, yo, there's way too many things going on right now. And I wish that I had someone else to think about like this particular aspect for me. And I do think in some ways by us having a virtual assistant that's helped, but then also fam, you know, having you as a business partner, you know, that's helped as well, because we're able to divide the various things that we're working on up. So, you know, it's not one person thinking about everything. So definitely thinking a lot more about how do I put the money aside to hire additional help for my own stuff, and also as it relates to P&B specifically. But to wrap this up positively, it's definitely possible to create opportunities for yourself. I keep thinking about the fact that the main side hustle gig came to me from a conversation that you had from a conference that we were both at. But I've also thought about what could actually happen if I more actively promoted this offering and what types of opportunities could come to me that way as well. So that is all I got. Hope folks got a lot from this. And any additional thoughts from you before we move to the closeout, good brother?
Nah, appreciate the shout out, good sir. And look forward to seeing what's next for you, us, we, the brand, and beyond.
Definitely, definitely. And so, yeah. That's all we've got for today. So if you've enjoyed today's episode, be sure to share with your network and hit us with those 5 stars in Apple Podcasts. The review of the week for this week comes from Brenda0922, who is also an active friend of the show on Twitter.
Appreciate it, Brenda. Elder millennials at their best, ! Started listening to this show 2 years ago when I decided to get my financial life together. These guys are funny, real smart, and informative. It's not easy being an elder millennial, but they make it look good and stay debt-free or die trying. Appreciate that shout out. And also really enjoy the career advice, practical and to the point. Hit them with the 5 stars.
Yeah, so Brenda, definitely appreciate those 5 stars and congratulations on the recent financial milestones that you've hit. I believe she closed on a house and potentially some other things, but definitely dope to hear from folks that have been listening to the podcast and see that they're getting something from it and it's ultimately helping them in their lives.
Yeah, and shout out to her personal finance partner in crime. I hear that he is also PF and financial independently oriented. I think a gift they got recently was to go in on a joint savings account for a trip, if I remember correctly. But, you know, they're in it to win it. The team. Teamwork makes the dream work. Had to think of the quotes there. And if you'd like to find us on social media, we're on Twitter and Instagram at PayBalances and on Facebook at Paychecks and Balances. Follow our individual accounts at the Marcus Garrett with 1 T on Twitter, because I ran out of characters, 2 T's everywhere else on earth, because that's my government name. And Rich is I am Rich Jones.
I am.
And don't forget to join our email list by visiting paybal.co/email, where you'll find our weekly newsletter covering actionable work and money tips and much more.
Yes. And reminder for folks to be on the lookout for interest about the FedEx Small Business Contest. More to come via email, more to come via social, and also more to come via podcast. And as I said up top, every vote counts. And so thanks for listening. Until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.